over Baghdad has been illuminated. We're seeing bright flashes going off all over the sky.
Back on the air, off the road, back home, in the G camp, coming to you live from deep inside rural North Carolina. I'm your host, NC Scout, coming to you for another episode of Radio Contra, a triumphant return to the airwaves, to the internet waves, however it is that you get this. But the important thing is that I am on the air once more, despite the best efforts of the left. And man, has a lot of things went down since the last time you and I spoke. And it's been a minute. Almost a month, maybe a little longer than a month. I think it's been a little longer than a month. Yeah, I'll have to go back and check and see, but it doesn't matter because I am here now and we are live. Spent a lot of time away, was out in Wyoming teaching several classes out there to an amazing group of patriots and one of the largest classes that I've ever taught. And I mean, that comes directly from you. The folks that are out there that are making this work in the real world, that are actually putting the metal into the meat, that is you, 100%. You know, I'm there, I'm teaching a class, I'm doing my thing, but you guys are out there, you are motivated, you are learning, you are really putting the skills to use. And we ran a scout course out there. We ran RTO, advanced RTO, signals intelligence course. And, you know, austere environment. But literally having people from every walk of life. And I'm going to tell you something. In the scout course, day one of the scout course, when I take you, the shooter, and I take you beyond where you think you are as a shooter, and I get you first rounds on steel at extended ranges, I'll tell you, out in Wyoming, I had two guys in class, and I had literally every end of the spectrum imaginable out there. I had veterans that were in class, all the way down to two gentlemen who had never taken a tactical class before, or a shooting class, or any class of its kind before, ever. Ever. It was their first time coming out, and everybody, and I'm talking about every category of gear too, from really high-end rifles, high-end optics, and guys that have had a lot of trigger time and training, all the way down to these guys that had never been to a class before, never been to a tactical class before, never had that experience, and you know, were out there wearing desert colored Carhartts and t-shirts, you know, with an AR-15 and a scope that they bought just to come to class, and wolf ammo, you know. So literally all these things that were you know, both ends of the spectrum. And, you know, those guys, those brand new guys, first round hits 400 meters. 400 meters, first round hit, IP-6 size steel, human silhouette, 400 meters. And this guy had never shot past 100 meters, 100 yards. Should correct myself, 100 yards, because we know 109 yards go into 100 meters. He never shot past 100 yards, he told me himself. His battle buddy that was with him, they've been in a class before, same track record. And you should have seen the grin on their face. You know, and this guy hadn't even properly mounted a scope before coming to class. So it was amazing. It was an amazing experience. Rolling right into the RTO course, advanced RTO, signals intelligence. And again, guys from literally every experience level, from well-seasoned electrical engineers, ham radio guys, career military officers, all the way to get down to people that have never done this at all ever before, and they're out there building antennas and making it work and getting all up on the air and building those communications, and then turning around in the signals intelligence side and figuring out how to exploit all of that at the small unit level. And I'm going to tell you, man, it was just an amazing process. Really, really amazing process. And had a few weeks off. Went down to prepper camp down in Saluda, North Carolina. Not just kind of staying incognito. Kept a real low profile. Just wandered around. Liked to be in the presence of great patriots, great folks, great Christians. And, man, I'm going to tell you, you know, I was not let down. I was not let down. Linked up with some good friends, had some good time, had some bear meat, some deer meat, drank some good beer while I was out there, some Vostana Oktoberfest, yeah, and das gut beer, yeah. And, man, we had a blast. We had a blast, met a lot of folks, talked to some really good people, met some fresh faces, and just really, really enjoyed the time that was out there. And, you know, came back, websites started getting hit, you know, American Partisans started getting hit with some attacks. Been dealing with some things here and there for a while now. You know, when you start taking some flack, you're over the target. Man, they hit us with a little more than some flack. You know, Microsoft's Azure, maybe. I'm not sure. I'm not a computer guy. But, you know, other than installing Linux and running that, I know a lot, you know, good amount about Linux Mint and SigmaOS and Kali and some of that stuff. But I'm not really big on the high-tech end of computer stuff. But, man, we were getting hit from Microsoft itself. And some of my friends in the tech end of this who are subject matter experts were saying that, you know, it wasn't Microsoft, the corporation, maybe it was, you know, people that had made accounts over there with that and were hitting us from those three different IPs. And, you know, I put that up, and that was Sunday before last that happened. It took us offline for a little while, you know, and they might be right. They might be right about that. You know, but I will say this, American Partisan as a website, as a community, as a tour de force on the internet has been the fastest growing patriot conservative. I'll label it myself, militant right wing organization. Because I know that Media Matters out there is probably waiting to listen to this. You know, I've already seen the things that have been posted up on Facebook by some of the lefty groups that have paid attention to what I've been doing and what we've been doing with American Partisan. But I'm going to tell you, even by their own metrics, when we're getting 15,000 hits a day, we're making an impact. And that's you. That is you, the audience. We are making an impact on the world. And we're going to continue to make an impact because, you know, they say that when you're catching flak, you're over the target. Old World War II bombers term. We're catching a little bit more than flak. They were flat out trying to bring us down. And they still are. They still are. You know, big thanks goes out to Johnny Mac for putting up with just the gargantuan amount of bullshit that it took to keep this site online. Putting up with me. Putting up with Jesse James. You know, we were about to tear our hair out to try and get this thing back online. Working with the hosting company as well. It took a gargantuan amount of effort. You know, and it underscores the fact that, folks, we're in a war. We're in a war. There is a digital domain to the battlefield. I almost wrote a post one time, not that long ago, about what I call the sixth generation of war. But I dialed it back, you know, and I really only want to talk in the fifth generation of war, which is what we're experiencing right now. But the sixth generation of war encompasses the digital domain as well, the cyber warfare aspect. You know, and I don't want to be the first person to say that because I don't have the bona fides to say it. I don't. You know, I'm not a military thinker. I was a trigger puller. I do have degrees in sociology and criminology. So I understand that end of it. That is my wheelhouse, but I'm not qualified to commentate on necessarily on generations of warfare. I can just point you, the listener, in hopefully the right direction so that you'll at least understand or have a frame of reference on what you are seeing on the contemporary battlefield today. And folks, we're in an asymmetric fight. I mean, American Partisan is a big part of that. I had a longtime student, a friend, a reader, and a Patreon supporter who shall remain nameless, but he is an incredibly impressive individual. His CV is a mile long, and, you know, we'll just leave it at this. He's an ER doc. We'll just leave it at that. He knows who he is. And we'll leave it at that. But he sent over a piece that was written by John Robb about how FOCO warfare, which is, in a nutshell, it was what Che Guevara was practicing, Carlos Mariguela as well. A lot of your mid-20th century communist revolutionaries were practicing this style of warfare, which was actually piloted in the Spanish Civil War by General Alberto Bayo. He was the one that wrote the most about it and the most coherent pieces. And then once he lost in the Spanish Civil War, moved to Mexico and was made a business and made himself pretty wealthy off of training would-be communist revolutionaries, including Che Guevara and Fidel Castro and Raul Castro. So, you know, FOCO warfare, getting back to the whole FOCO warfare, we're experiencing that here in the United States. And, you know, he sent me an email amid all the problems we were having online, the site being down and up and down and just the got defaced and a few other things were going on. And, you know, he sent me an email and he said, you know, this piece by John Robb over at Global Guerrillas, this is exactly what you're trying to do. How you're trying to create basically the vanguard of creating a revolutionary movement. And that's not exactly true. That's not exactly true of what we're trying to do. I would say, me personally, as someone who's studied this and not just studied it, but has professional degrees in it, and not just professional degrees, but professional experience. I've been fighting a counterinsurgency. You can call it a counter-revolution. There were many groups. I'm going to be talking about this a little bit more later on. But there were many, many groups overseas that we were fighting against that were all, in essence, fomenting revolution. Right, and revolution and insurgency is a type of revolutionary action, because, you know, I never tell you anything that I can't point to in black and white. Right, that's the difference between somebody that's full of shit and just has some, you know, random podcast where they just talk about whatever, or they're just writing about whatever and they're pulling it out of their butt, you know, and what you get here. Because I can point to it in black and white and tell you, it's not my opinion, it is what is, okay? Somebody smarter than me put this into writing, somebody smarter than me put this into practice, and somebody a lot smarter than me taught me how to do it, and now I'm here telling you, right? That's how it works. So anyway, with that said, you know, he sent it over, and the idea was basically this, that the left is using FOCO warfare to foment all of these points of contention, which is what I call social fractures. Me personally, just as you know, me, I call it social fractures, but these are focal points or FOCO warfare, and that there is a vanguard that develops and foments and exploits that fracture in order to create a larger revolution. And that's not exactly what we're trying to do. I mean, you have to understand that the left in the United States right now is trying to create a revolution based on a number of different fronts. And they are all identitarian based. Every single one of them are identitarian based. But if you'll notice, if you'll pay very close attention, none of them focus on tradition. None of them. And that is an interesting question, and one that I've asked different people in the comments who've said different things, and they've made their point in different ways, and bless their heart. If you're a Southerner, you know what that means. But you couldn't be more wrong. You're thinking about this all wrong. You know, if you get your talking points, ironically, from talk radio, you're not seeing the totality, okay? You're regurgitating what they are trying to sell you, all right? So, you know, nobody's trying to denigrate the Declaration of Independence. Nobody's saying the Constitution ain't the law of the land, okay? None of that, all right? But I am going to tell you that the Declaration of Independence is not the source of law in the United States. Okay, I mean, that's legal philosophy 101 right there. It's not the source of law. It's not a source of anything. It was a declaratory statement, and that's very important. You have to understand that. It was the opening of hostilities in overt warfare. Okay, we were already at war in the colonies before the American Revolution. You probably didn't know that unless you were a historian. See, we have this thing going on, the War of Regulation. All right. It was going on. There was a period from the French and Indian War into the War of Regulation, which led into the Revolutionary War. And it wasn't that a lot of the colonists wanted to leave due to taxation. What they saw was the fact that they were tired. There was war after war after war that was going on, and they were having to foot the bill. And there was also the Hundred Years' War that was going on in Europe. And they saw themselves as being completely independent of that. They weren't part of it, right? They weren't part of this. They were outside of it. And of course, there was a group who sought to exploit that mood and those divisions here in the colonies. Those were the descendants of the Jacobins. Now, we're asking some tough questions here. There might be some even tougher answers. We're not going to be silenced. We're not going to be shut down. We put the money, we put the time in it. We're here. We're dedicated to the task. And trust me, folks, it's a fight. It's been a nightmare. You know, I am dog ass tired. I'm not going to lie to you. I never thought that running a website and talking into a microphone and teaching classes and doing all this stuff would leave me exhausted as I was. You know, if you took me 10 years ago and told me that I was going to be here, you know, when I was in between deployments and in the Army and doing all my cool guy shit, you know, I would have laughed. I said, man, that sounds like the easiest job in the world. But, you know, now I look at it, it's not so easy. It's not so easy on this side, you know. But we're committed. We're committed at giving you the very best, at doing everything that we can for you to provide you with the best contemplative material that you can reference every day. You can look at things that you can actually use, things that you can think about, things that you can study, and material that you can go back and use for what's coming down the road. You know, they're not going to silence us. All right. They are not going to silence us. But one thing I want to address rolling into this is these wizards in Michigan. And man, oh man, what a bunch of dumbasses right here. The Michigan Wolverines. You know, this group sounds real familiar. You know, not because I'm familiar with them, obviously. I would never touch anything like this with a 10-foot pole. But the fact that these guys are so hideously stupid. I really can't fathom how guys could be this retarded. But yet they are. Yet they are. And, you know, there's a common thread to all this, to every one of these so-called patriot groups that gets rolled up. They all hang out on social media. Huh. That's right. They all hang out on social media. And they all have their little private group. You know, oh, it's my private group. Nobody else can see it but me. Or the members of it. Yeah, except for the admin of the site that you're on. Do you even know who that is? I mean, do you know who that is? I mean, do you know who actually runs Twitter, Facebook, Gab? Do you know who's actually moderating that stuff? No, you don't see who these people are. You see, sure, the public face of the company. Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey, Andrew Torba. Right, and you hear what they say, you know, for Jack Dorsey, dog whistles to the left, and that's fine. Do you ever think that maybe there's a reason that he is facilitating all those leftists? And it's not necessarily because he supports them. I'm sure deep down he probably does. I've been around enough techies to know kind of their leanings. They go one way or the other, but there's no middle ground there. You know, so there's that. But, you know, there's a specific reason that Zuckerberg exists, that Zuckerberg became Zuckerberg. Yeah, he came from Harvard. I get it. And he was running the social media stuff at Harvard. And he was shocked and amazed. This was something that we used to bring up in the privacy, security, and anonymity course. There's a quote that we used to use from there that man, I don't know why people give me their information. That came from Zuckerberg himself. I mean, come on, folks. You're giving it to him. Why are you on Facebook? I mean, this is literally the stupidest thing I think that you could be doing right now is remaining on Facebook. You know, I've heard the excuses. Oh, it's for my business and blah. You know, hey, make a stand. Make a stand. I mean, you understand we're in a fight, right? You know, yeah, there's going to be casualties. I bet if you put some hard work into it, you built your own website, you put some money into it like that, you advertise the real way. Hey, Facebook, man, you know, if enough people walked away from Facebook, Facebook wouldn't have the power it has. Did you ever think about that? Twitter's the same way. Walk away from it. Walk away. Gab, Gab seems to me a little too much of a magnet for one side. I don't know. If I wanted to map out a who's who of my potential opposition, I would go to where they all hang out. These are called anchor points, by the way, if you are setting up surveillance on a target. You know, when I was in Afghanistan, early on in my tour in Afghanistan, we had a captain in one of the military intelligence companies that was coming over, and he was normally a pretty good thinker. And, you know, because he was a sharp dude, and he was sharper than his peers. And, you know, we listened to him. We listened to his input and valued what he had to say. And he said, you know, what we need to do is target the Taliban's repeaters. Because if we blow up their repeaters, they had ammo can repeaters, right? Using a radio kind of similar to a Baofeng. If we just blow up their repeaters, they won't be able to communicate. And we cut their communications off. We have finished off. War be won. Yeah, that was over a decade ago, too. We still got troops there. But anyway, what we learned real quick is that, yeah, man, that sounds great. And we're going to go do it. Yeah, well, what ended up happening about that? What ended up happening was we were blowing up repeaters, and they just started communicating a different way. Peer to peer. Individual to individual. Using radios in simplex mode. Ah, handheld radios at that. VHF in the mountains, imagine that. 170 megahertz or so, if I remember right. Have to go back and consult some of my old green write-in-the-rain notebooks over here. I always carried one in my back pocket, by the way. But, yeah. And we had no idea what they were doing or what they were saying. We blinded ourselves because it seemed like the idea was so good. We'll just cut their lines of communication. Uh-huh. Well, we gave it enough time, and they brought their repeaters back online because that's the easy button, and everybody loves the easy button. And then what we had learned was that they would tell us everything we wanted to know. We just had to sit back and listen. We just had to sit back and listen. And so I would hand the TERP, my Radio Shack Pro 96, and we would listen to everything they had to say on their repeater. Think about that one. If you're hanging out on social media, you are giving them everything they want to know. And, you know, that little write-up that I did about these Michigan wonderful, just genius. I'm blinded by these guys' intelligence here. It was their whole thing was initiated by social media. Where the hell did they go from Michigan to Ohio to meet up with some people? I mean, what were they doing? What were they doing? And I'm sure that the informant that reported it, I'm sure it was his civic duty to do it, right? I'm sure he hadn't been on the FBI's payroll for, like, forever. Folks, there's a right way and a wrong way to do this stuff. I know there's a lot of folks out there who are really angry, all right? Dude, why am I doing everything I do? I'm going to tell you, I had a lot of other things that I could be doing and still have a lot of other things that I could be doing. I don't have to sit here and do this. I don't have to put up with the attacks online. I don't have to put up with the stress of running a website and putting up daily content and cranking out podcasts and coordinating with all these guys and traveling and packing up my gear and going to these places and doing all this stuff and putting myself out there, right? I don't have to do all that, folks. I don't have to do all that. But I do. All right? But I do. And I'm telling you, if you want to be successful in this, if you want to be successful, I know you're angry. I know you're looking for organization. I know you're looking for an answer. I know you're looking for those things. you know, and you're frustrated and you say, holy shit, Hunter Biden, man, Hunter Biden, how can this coked up idiot who's guilty of all these things, how can this guy get away with this? How can Hillary Clinton get away with this? Well, I'm going to tell you something. September 11th, 2012, I was right there. I'm still frustrated as hell. You know, I knew some of those guys that were on the ground in Benghazi. I knew what was going on there. I knew the inside baseball of that. I knew it before it happened. I knew it was coming. And I'm going to tell you where I was when that went down. It sucked the wind right out of the room that morning. You know, we all came in. We're used to coming in, have our coffee mugs in our hand. Everybody got a bright big smile on their face because everybody loved working where we worked. Came in civilian clothes. Oh, man. Dude, I had it made. It was great. You know, come in professional attire every day. Don't have to worry about wearing that starch uniform and all that stuff. Right, come on in. Yeah, it sucked the life right out of that room. Because we knew the deal. And I was mad as hell, and I still am. That's why I do the things I do. That's why I started the Brush Beater blog. You know, it occurred to me while I was out in Wyoming, it occurred to me that on September 11th, which the anniversary was while I was out there, that was the day that I started Brush Beater in 2015, 5 years ago. 5 years ago, September 11th, 5 years ago. And I remember that night because I'd been writing things, pieces for different people that were floating around in the Patriot blogosphere and stuff. And, you know, I remember that night, and we all have our demons here and there that sometimes they get the better of us and whatever. And I was sitting there and I was drinking a little bit of Jameson. Remember it well. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do what I can right here. I'm going to take the fight to them. I'm going to make a blog. I don't even know what the hell, you know, but I'm going to write about some of this Camo stuff that I know. I'm going to write about some of this Trigger Puller stuff that I know. I'm going to write about some of this little small unit movement stuff that I know, you know, because been to the schools for all that stuff, right? So I'm going to write about these things, you know, and if people are going to read it, they're going to read it. But hopefully those that have been pointed to it by the divine get something out of it. And that's been my goal this whole time, right? And it ain't been an easy road. But I'm here. Like I said, we're fighting a war. We're fighting a war. And, like I said, you know, everybody's angry. They're frustrated. You know, this election is, a lot of people are holding their breath. You know, I'm going to be honest. I'm not holding my breath. You know, I'm going to say that I'm not going to be surprised at the outcome either way. I know what these people are. I know what the people who are pulling the reins of power are. You know, I know about the Chinese, their influence in this. The Chinese, by the way, I think it's really interesting that George Stephanopoulos is going to be the quote-unquote moderator for this bullshit town hall that Dementia Joe Biden is about to engage in. Of course, Trump very rightfully and correctly did not agree to be a part of it, as he shouldn't have. I wouldn't have either. But Stephanopoulos was the war room coordinator for the Clintons. He works for ABC News. ABC News is owned by Disney. Disney, the majority shareholder, is People's Republic of China. So it's only natural. A rat is going to go to the rat's nest. That's just the way it is. A rat is going to go to the rat's nest. And that's what Joe Biden is. And this guy's got dementia. You can look in his eyes and tell. He's just going to go. I mean, when your brain isn't working right, and I've had traumatic brain injuries myself, you know, it is what it is. And I'm going to tell you, when you get your bell rung hard, they say that dementia is very similar to somebody who has a traumatic brain injury, except that it's all the time. And looking at Joe Biden and the way that he speaks and stammers and gets hung up on stuff, that seems very fitting to me. That seems very fitting. So I think that, you know, he's just going to go back to what he knows. His handlers are obviously pointing him in the direction of George Stephanopoulos, who's just going to give him softball questions all night. And he's probably had, you know, the questions at least rehearsed, or the answers at least rehearsed. He's looked at the questions before that. He's going to have somebody there giving him cues. I mean, the audience, if there's an audience in there, I don't even know if they're, they say it's a town hall, but who knows. But if you think that those people are going to be chosen at random and they're not going to ask, or that they're going to ask objective questions, you know, I got a beachfront property I'll sell you in Nevada, because it just, no. It's bullshit. It's all stage show. It's a stage show produced by Disney and brought to you live on your TV screen. But, I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is. You know, I don't think that debates really have a lot of power on the, especially on the millennial generation, Gen X generation. You know, boomers... yeah, I mean, you guys are kind of stuck in the power of the whole Nixon versus Kennedy debate and you know, kind of have that nostalgia about TV and stuff, and I get that. But, you know, you guys grew up in an era where you truly believed everything was objective. I mean, and, you know, and maybe in some cases it was, and maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I wasn't alive then, so I don't know. But... We're definitely beyond that. You know, we're beyond that. And I don't think that there's anybody out there that is on the fence, that hasn't decided, oh man, I just don't know. I don't know who I'm. Nah, man, you know. You know who you're going to vote for. There's no question one way or the other. You know who it's going to be. So, you know, here we are. Here we are. It's brought to you live on your TV. So, getting back to my show notes here, man, you know, this whole podcast, I had 3 pages of notes written out that was my personal show prep that I was going to get into, and, you know, I'm kind of going off script, and it's coming straight from the heart, because... Again, circling back to the whole point of what I was talking about before, these guys in Michigan, a lot of folks are angry. A lot of folks are frustrated. I'm putting it all out there. I'm doing everything I can to give you the most. All right. Now, there's some folks that do some stupid stuff. There's some folks that say some stupid stuff, you know, but that's okay. That's okay. You know, I mean, when I was deployed, I'd end up getting short with my brothers. You know, I'd end up getting short with them. You'd be around them a little too long, stress starts getting, you start getting short with people because that stress, that constant stress that's on you, it happens. And people say things that are out of the way. you know, hey, don't take it personally. But what I will say is that if I see something that's patently wrong or kind of trips my radar or makes me think, you know, all right, something ain't quite right here. You know, you really need to have that thick skin and stand back and look at it, you know, because I'm going to tell you, in the infantry world, in the airborne world, and in your elite units that are out there, man, if you screw something up, you're going to get called out, and that's just going to be it. You're going to get called out. People are going to call it like it is. You know, hey, I'm going to point out your faults. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus or cut you off at the knees. I'm just telling you, this is how it is. This is what you did, and this is what you need to fix. All right, roger that. You move on. You know, have some thick skin, you know, and everybody gets tired. But, you know, as far as people getting frustrated and looking for that national level organization and, you know, looking for this, looking for that, and I want this thing and I want that thing. What you really want is the answer. You know, you want this stuff to stop. You want to return to normalcy. You want, you know, these things to not be what they are. For most of you out there, right, that's what you want. There's some folks that I've run into that they just want personal validation. But I mean, whatever, that whole other conversation. But point is, though, is that you really need to think critically before you jump in on something with both feet. Now, I have a lot of people that come to class, and I've been blessed, you know, it's like Field of Dreams, build it and they'll come, you know, Ray Liotta and all that. I've had a lot of folks come into class and some really amazing individuals, people that I never thought that I would run across. And for me, it's been a big honor. But what I will say is this, is that I don't ask personal information from folks. You know, if you comment on American Partisan, you can enter anything you want. I mean, I know that it asked for a screen name and all this stuff. I don't care. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and, you know, do anything with that. But what I will say is that I, as a site administrator, I can see that information. You know, and I have a lot of people that come to class who say, you know, I'm not commenting on your site or anybody else's site because I don't want to give that stuff up. Hey, I don't blame you. You know, don't. If you think something's out of the way, shoot me an email. I don't think anybody's ever accused me of being unapproachable. You know, I try my best to be approachable in class. But with that said, man, you know, there's sites out there that are popping up, and I'm getting a lot of emails, and I answer probably between 75 and 100 emails a day, which is starting to wear on me. I'm going to tell you this, that there's a lot of sites that are popping up that are asking a lot of personal things before you can access them. Email, name, in some cases, credit card number. Please do not give a website your credit card number unless it's, you know, a web store where you're actually buying something. But please don't do that. But, you know, there was even one. Somebody sent me a thing today, and I looked at it. And just to access the information on this site, they wanted your home address. And I was thinking, man, if only I had set up, you know, a website for the Taliban and told them to enter in their home address. That was, man, how easy that would have made life overseas hunting down HBIs. But, you know, seriously, there is, I want you to go back to the repeater story of how we set those repeaters up, or how we were taking out those repeaters and they set them back up. Folks, they're setting you up. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that every person out there that's running a site and is asking a few things before you can access it, you know, is bad necessarily. There's actually a lot of really good sites that have put up a paywall simply to keep really stupid people out. Okay. You know, my friend Sam Culper over at Ford Observer, he's doing that. Putting out great information. So go check him out. I'm pretty sure, you know, everybody that listens to me is probably knows about him. But if you don't know about him, just giving a shout out to him. You know, and folks are doing that and need to, and rightfully so. But if you're setting up something at the national level and it's set up by people who may or may not have intelligence agency ties, man, you might really want to think hard about that one. And the bottom line is this. If you don't know the people, physically know them, and I'm talking about, it's not just a name, maybe some dude you saw at a barbecue, had a beer with, you know, oh yeah, he's a good guy. Nah, man, you need to know that dude's weaknesses. What kind of music does he listen to? How many kids has he got? When did he get married? How long has he lived in the area? If you don't know those things about him, you don't really know that person. You have no idea who he's talking to online, what he's doing. And so you can't sit there and say, oh yeah, he's part of my group. Bullshit. I don't want you. I don't even know you. You seem like a good guy. Sure, you tell me what I want to hear, but you're not from here. You know, there's a recurrent thing. I was reading, I recently finished Guerrilla Days in Ireland by Tom Barry. And one of the standouts, it's an excellent book, by the way, you should definitely read it. Everybody that's into this stuff should read it. Students of Military History, Guerrilla Warfare, so on and so forth. You need to listen to it. Or you need to read it. But point is, none of his guerrilla fighters, himself included, none of them left the area where they were born and raised. They knew their areas. They were from there. They had a cultural tie to where they were. They had a cultural tie to their people that brought them together. And they had an inherent loyalty because of that. They had the role of tradition on their side. They were a people and are a people. That's a powerful thing. And that's something we don't really have in a lot of cases here in the United States. Especially not since we've had suburban culture and all this other bullshit, stand-in, capitalism stuff, you know. Oh, we are the world, and Coca-Cola or Pepsi or Disney and, you know, the mouse and all that crap, right? We don't have all that. You know, we're disconnected. You folks living in suburbia, how many of you can point to generational ties to where you live? Did you think about that? I have generational ties, many generational ties to where I live. Where I am, everybody knows me and I know all them. All the movers and shakers. Everybody. And I know all their weaknesses too. Works well. That's how you do it. That is how you do it. But, you know, it's an uphill battle, folks. It's an uphill battle. And I know that does not give you a lot of solace. But what I will say is that when you are angry, when you are willing to put yourself out there because of a perceived shortfall, oh, we don't have this, we don't have that, we need organization and all this. Organization for what? For what? I'm sorry, but I look at past performance as a gauge of future performance. I don't want the crowd that went to Richmond, because you are not willing to do what it takes. All right? I don't want the folks who are out in Michigan and are falling prey to some idiot honey trap friggin' scheme. I mean, come on. This is stupid. Guys, you got to start using your head, okay? You need to get educated. You need to get educated. And it ain't just running reactor contact drills either, okay? It's not just going and hanging out at a square range. Look, you're frustrated. I get it. You know, you're angry. You say these people at national level are never going to be brought to justice. And guess what? I got news for you. They probably won't. Okay? Hate to be all black-pilled about it, but with the election coming up, I mean, do you really think that Bob Barr is going to bring any of these people to justice? He's running the clock out. He's a creature of the swamp, too. So is Durham. Okay? Come on. You know? Let's be honest here. Nobody's going to bring these people to justice. And if you think that if the insurrection, the Civil War breaks out here in the U.S., which I think that it will regardless of the outcome of the election, do you really think that these people are going to stick around? I mean, come on. You got bigger things to worry about anyway. I mean, let's not think about the abstract and worry about securing your family. Worry about securing your family first. Let the chips fall where they will. All right? Tactical patience. It's called tactical patience. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're online, if you're on social media for more than 1 hour, 60 minutes, 60 minutes a day, get off of it. If you find yourself bored at work or whatever it is that you do during the day and you vegetate and stare at your phone and look at Gab or Twitter or whatever, stop. Don't feed it. And you're going to find yourself a lot happier, a lot more productive, and more important, most important, you're going to go out and do something better for your community. For yourself, for your family, meet your neighbors. It's critical. Anyway, folks, it's been an hour-long ramble fest. My show notes that I had prepared have completely went out the window. But you know, whatever. I've got infinite number of future podcasts that I'm sure the left is going to try and shut us down from conversating here on the air. But you know what? Let them keep doing it. They're going to keep trying to take us out. Let them. I have no plans of stopping. How about you? Good night.